What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, so listen.
It's a Wednesday, and Dukes and Bell are out of the studio
as they broadcast live from Taco Mac in Woodstock.
All right, let's go.
Cut out work early and come say hey, man.
As the guys talk all things Atlanta sports and more live from Taco Mac on Highway 92 in Woodstock.
Hey, man.
These are party people.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Dukes and Bell.
Time here at Taco Mac in Woodstock.
Good crowd, by the way, on a Wednesday.
Yeah, man.
Nobody in Woodstock is working today, Carl.
Obviously. You hear the noise, man. They're in here hanging out with right us. You can come hang out as well. Ice cold Hey Man Ale on tap. Got here, and Carly, one of the bartenders, was like, you know, we got Hey Man on tap. Had to make sure it was well-stocked today. I was
right.
Like, well, thank you.
Got the Miss Fitness USA competitor who just walked in.
Hey.
I mean, look at this. I mean, holy shnikes. I mean, that's low body fat right there, Carl.
She is definitely doing the right things with her body.
Yes, sir.
That is what she's doing.
I don't want her boyfriend to kick our butts. We're just going to keep it moving, but there you go.
By the way, and we've got a lot more to get to. Steve Weiss is going to join us coming up from NFL Network, our buddy Steve Weiss, chief national reporter. He does so much. He'll be a part of the NFL coverage for the 2024 NFL draft in Detroit, April 25th through the 27th. But, Mike, before we get into our NFL blitz, let's talk a little bit about this story, because here's the thing, guys. First of all, we have our coach. But people will forever wonder why this didn't happen, okay?
Right.
We're talking about Bill Belichick, and the article is entitled Voted Off the Island, Inside Belichick's Failed Job Hunt. And as I said to Mike today, as we were talking about this, there are a lot of things in this article who was done by, you know, Seth Wickersham, Jeremy Fowler. There's a bunch of people that were involved in this.
And guys, and I know that some guys, they do get upset when they see anonymous sources quoted, but that's kind of the way business gets done these days in these kind of articles. But these are probably the A-team, you know, for ESPN,
yes.
As far as guys you've recognized over the years.
It's multiple people because
right.
No one had all the sources.
Correct.
Okay, so you're going to combine this story. But as Mike and I were talking about this is just the only reason we're talking about it, because I'm happy we have Raheem Morris. I told you guys, you know, the Belichick thing, I wasn't necessarily going to be happy about it because I knew what was coming. Mike had talked about him basically clearing house and bringing in his people.
Right.
That absolutely was going to happen, okay? But this article entails all some of the details, not all, but some of the details about how this all went down. And, Mike, the one thing that I will point out, and I said this to you today, the whole second meeting is when this went wrong. The first meeting, I'm going to take you guys back, they met on the boat. We're talking about Arthur Blank.
Dream boat down there off Antigua.
They met in his yacht. And Bill Belichick, they met on the yacht. For those who don't remember or maybe don't know, that meeting was great because it was a, I like you, you like me, I want you, you want me.
Did Arthur overpromise in that meeting as far as job responsibility? In other words, did Arthur say, I want you to come to Atlanta, and it's carte blanche. You run the show. I'm not saying, I don't know if that's how Bill heard it. Because by the time you get all in the article, they talk about the executives, the brain trust of the Falcons, no one's going to sit in that meeting with Belichick and go, yeah, I'm really excited about this guy coming in and telling me how to do my job or eliminating my job.
Correct.
And bringing in his people. That's common sense.
It is. And Mike, to answer the question, the answer is yes. So the first meeting is all love. You get to the second meeting, and I've said this to you guys. I said, second meeting is when it went bad. Everybody's in this meeting, okay? Some people left early. Some people left the meeting early.
Rich McKay's in that meeting, right?
Yes, but
Fontenot's
I'm not.
In that meeting.
I'm not
Beatles
name
is
dropping.
In that meeting. Right.
I'm not saying anything.
Right.
But there are people. Everybody's in this meeting.
Article does have those guys at least in that meeting.
Okay,
right.
So everybody's in this meeting. And the idea that this was a courtesy meeting is bull corn, okay? That was not the case. This was the meeting, Mike, where it was supposed to be solidified.
Correct. This is just the affirmation. Hey, guys, we're going to put the cherry on top of the sundae. Belichick's coming to the Falcons, and then objections come in about how will the personnel department be?
Correct.
Who's answering to who?
That's
what
right.
Power does Belichick have? Because in the article, it is interesting. They kick the tires on the Eagles because they figure that, you know, that team is ready to go. just Sirianni lost his way, and Belichick will come in. Although his assistant coaches don't do anything, let's be honest. The one thing, it was just before we get to the Falcons again, I thought it was interesting that Adam Peters was a former Patriots staffer. He's the GM now of Washington. He wouldn't sign off on it to his own owner. His own owner, who owns hockey teams and basketball teams. I know people go crazy about the collaboration. That phrase got kicked around a lot. But he likes to see a strong general manager and the coach answering to the GM. So that's kind of spelled doom for Belichick in Washington. The only guy that maybe seemed like the lifeline would have been Jerry Jones. But Jerry immediately locks on to Mike McCarthy after another flame out in the playoffs.
Yes, he did. No, there's no doubt.
So we were the only shot, really.
Well, and so you get to this meeting. And by the way, up until this point, it is all go. It is. He's our guy, and he's going to get this job. So much so, Mike, that even before the season was over, you're only going to hear this here.
Right.
They were already contacting him. This was done. Get to the second meeting. Mike just laid it out, and he says, here's how it's going to go. And it went bad. And that was the meeting in which the Falcons – and Arthur Blank specifically says, I don't think it's a good idea. And we're out. It is not anything else except for Belichick and the demands that he wanted and how he wanted to run this organization is why he's not here.
Right.
That is it. And once that all played out and you had people in that room, again, I'm not name dropping, right, who were like, wait a minute, hold on. What are we doing? Time out.
Now, in addition to all that, after Belichick speaks with Arthur Blank, this is where the article says, look, Bob Kraft and Arthur talk on a pretty regular basis.
They do.
It's the one guy he's always looked to get leadership or some ideas about how to run a football team. It seems like Bob Kraft, and this is what they talk about in the article, that Belichick basically, and Bob Kraft, we know it got sideways. So Bob Kraft says to him, you're never going to have a warm conversation with this guy. And Arthur Blank likes to feel like it's a family.
Yes.
Why Dan Quinn, like Mike Smith, why those guys got those second and third chances. And maybe Arthur's loyal to a fault, but Bob Kraft basically said, look, at the end, you can't trust Bill Belichick. And that resonated with Arthur. But I still think, to your point, it's about, whether you think it was job security or whatever, but Rich McCain, these guys, look, Belichick might say this. He's going to come in here. It's going to be his way or the freaking highway. And if you don't get it done, you're going to have blown up the organization. You're going to have to restart from scratch all over again.
Yeah.
So, and the thing was, now the article, I agree with you. I think that's exactly what you said has happened is what the article doesn't have.
It's not going to.
They don't know that.
Correct. Right. They don't, the guys, they're not.
Because they make it sound like Belichick all of a sudden sees Raheem Morris gets hired. Like, what the hell just happened?
That's not what happened.
Exactly.
That's not what happened. And if anybody wants to fault Belichick, and you can tell him I said it, it's him. He's the reason, Mike. Because of the demands. But part of this is, to your point about overpromising, when you say, hey, I want you to do this your way. And he says, well, here's my way. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And he's got to go, he's got to go, he's got to go, he's got to go. And then you have a vote in that room where people are like, wait a minute, is this the best thing for our franchise? It just got sideways. Which is why, by the way, remember, once it was done, there were no pleasantries.
No.
You didn't hear anything after this other went
than,
down.
Other than when, because remember, Arthur wasn't there for the introductory press conference. He was ill by the time he does speak a few days later. Nothing but respect for Bill Belichick. Now, in the article, again, this is the article's angle. They say that Belichick was asking specifics. This is where my started. I think you're on track here. You're right.
Thank you.
I know you're right. I'm just saying for the audience.
Go for it. Here's where
Carl's on track. They can't connect the rest of the dots.
Because they don't know.
Is that Belichick asked why contracts didn't include offseason bonuses to entice players to, come to the workout facility in the offseason, something they did in New England. He saw that's not what the Falcons have ever done. Belichick apparently also wasn't eager to work with McKay.
Correct.
And we kind of know that, look,
correct,
guys, Rich McKay is still involved with the Falcons. I know they've spun it that he's now off with the he's got an office with Atlanta United. He's still a guy that's intricately involved with the Falcons and the National Football League, as you guys know, and the competition committee. But either way, it was, you can argue, if you didn't want Bill Belichick, the bulwark that was Rich McKay did block ultimately him being hired here in Atlanta, for better or for worse. Only time will tell.
It's an interesting article. Again, I'm not going to poo-poo everything because there are a lot of things that are right. But as I said to our team today, there's a lot of things that are not in here. And if we're going to tell it, let's tell it. And I'm going to tell you some things that I couldn't say at the time that were going on when I kept asking Atlanta, are you sure it's Belichick? 404-726-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You guys can hit us up. And I know some of you guys are going to say, well, yeah, but if we don't win, this will be the biggest regrets.
Right.
You don't understand the demands
correct
that he was putting down.
And
okay?
the NFL owners, guys, in 2024, you have to understand what Bill was able to do back in the day. It just doesn't fly. And Carl and I were talking about this off the air. You look at his draft record, Tom Brady was able to gloss over a lot of those awful draft picks.
Great point.
Because it wasn't, you guys remember the years, it wasn't like, oh, all of a sudden Peyton Manning and the Colts caught up to him. No, the Steelers went to the Super Bowl, other teams, because the Patriots were good, but the draft picks you needed to sustain it weren't as good as they needed to be.
Yep.
And then the last 4 years without Tom Brady, the wheels completely fall off. Under 500, and it's Bill's way or highway. His assistant coaches go nowhere. Nick Saban is college, guys. He's not NFL. All of his pro assistants are nowhere. You saw Matt Patricia destroy the Eagles' defense last year.
He destroyed the Lions.
I mean, it is what it is. Yes. His coaching tree is a stump, and his old retreads would be brought in. There's no way to avoid that. And, you know, I just feel – and one angle I do love is in the article they do say Raheem Morris is kind of a different version of where Belichick was after the Browns years. He said he's at 47 years of age, he's at a career crossroads, eager to prove – this is Raheem Morris we're talking about. Not just a brilliant assistant who lacked the gravitas to lead a team. Morris needed what Belichick was desperate for 24 years ago, an owner unafraid to believe in him.
A shot.
I love that part of the article because that's why I know so much of our fan base is like, oh, Raheem Morris, retread, couldn't do jack with Quinn's team. Carl and I have explained to you, that wasn't his team. It wasn't run the way he would run his team.
Yeah.
So I believe in Raheem, and I think, and again,
why don't you go to Mike's house? Why don't you go to Mike's house tonight?
Right.
You be with Becky for the rest of the year. Y'all tell me how that works out. Because that's what you're doing. When you take over a team, you're jumping into the middle of a relationship
right.
with players that you haven't picked necessarily. You're coaching them, but you haven't picked, you haven't put together. You're picking it up in the middle. It is very rare, guys, as these interim coaches have success. NFL Blitz is brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. We just wanted to talk about this because I know a lot of people are reading this going, man, I can't believe this. Again, take it with a grain of salt and understand there are a lot more. There's a lot more to this.
ESPN reports in this article that Raheem Morris was the unanimous first choice.
Yes.
If they couldn't hire Morris, Mike McDonald, who left the Ravens to go to Seattle, that's one you and I talked about a lot.
Give defensive coordinator.
We like Mike McDonald.
Yeah.
And then Bobby Slowick, who did go back to the Texans. He finished third.
All right, guys.
Speaking of Becky, by the way, Mike, you had the doghouse?
Yeah, we're good. I took it to Palmer's last night. We celebrated our number one ratings.
Very nice.
Had a nice time. Watermelon Lime will be next on draft.
That's
down there in Peachtree
beautiful.
City, as soon as I get the keg out there. But yeah, man, all happy, happy.
Joy, nice joy. Save. Nice save.
Thank you. Well, I mean, it was inexpensive dinner. It's not like I'm my boys in town. Tomorrow night's the expensive dinner.
The inexpensive dinners are the best.
That's right.
Hey, Steve Weiss is on the way, guys. NFL Network chief national reporter. We'll get his thoughts on the Falcons, the draft, and more. It's Dukes and Bell live at Taco Mac.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We love Steve Weiss. He's been doing an amazing job and has for many years.
He was really trying to pump our coach for some information.
He almost
I give him
got
credit.
It.
He was almost there.
He almost got it. Chief national reporter. Yeah, it felt Oprah-ish, didn't it? The way he was on.
Don't you want to use this form to answer the question?
NFL Network provides live coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit, April 25th through the 27th. Steve Weiss, man, good to have you back on. Yeah, I mean, I know you've known Raheem for a long time, but what sense did you come away with once you finished that interview with Raheem and the Falcons?
In terms of?
Just his second chance. This is a second opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think he's more prepared and ready. I've been telling, you know, Falcon fans here, he's going to be better than his first opportunity to be a head coach, and certainly the interim situation that played out with Dan Quinn.
Well, he's going to be better for a lot of reasons. One, you know, he just learned a lot more. He's learned how to deal with people a lot better. And that includes from his players, the staff in the building, the coaching staff, to ownership. What also is going to help is the fact that Arthur Blank has a true, like, you know, Arthur really loves his coaches anyway, but he's loved Raheem since he was in Atlanta, went away. They've always had a great relationship. So to have that support and that familiar support is something that's really going to help Raheem as well. And, you know, and also, I mean, think about it. The past 2 years or 3 years, you know, whatever you want to think about it, they have built a foundation of talent on this football team. He is not coming to a barren cupboard like some of these other teams, like Dan Quinn and some other teams are doing with their second chances. So, you know, Raheem is very positive. He's very focused. He's got a very, very, very good staff. And that also helps him as well. So all these things in terms of just the contact he's made, the connections he's made, and the knowledge he's gained from when he was a young coach at Tampa, however long ago that was, more than a decade ago, is really, you know, he's grown so much, and it's really going to benefit the Falcons.
Our man Steve Wyche on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live from Taco Mac here at Woodstock. Steve, you get any kind of inkling that the edge rushers are worth taking at eight? I'm not trying to put you on the spot as like a draft guru, but I know you're so close to an NFL network. Do you think that just – don't keep it simple, stupid, just take an edge rusher?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, you would think so because, you know, we've been banging that drum for years. I mean, they haven't had a consistent edge rusher since John Abraham, guys. And think about that. What was that, like 08, 07, 08?
That's right.
And it seems that way. But, you know, you also have to look at the fact, you know, last year in Los Angeles, you know, the Rams had Byron Young, a third-round draft pick out of Tennessee. And he was an excellent pass rusher, right? So they got someone to help out, but he played alongside the kingmaker, Aaron Donald. So that helps. But, you know, you have to say if you're Raheem Morris, who is a longtime DB coach and loves his DBs, do you want to put more pressure up front or have more strength on the back end? You know, hold up the receivers for an extra beat to let the guys you're developing get there, or do you want to be disruptive up front? And I think the way they're built, you can go either way. But, you know, again, to win the NFL, you got to have someone who can get to the quarterback. And the Falcons just have not had a consistent winner in that category, like I said, since John Abraham. So I don't know which way they're going to go. And do I know if Dallas Turner or Jared Verse is worth a pick at eight? Who says the Falcons are picking at eight? I mean, what's going to happen in front of them? And I expect it to be a very intriguing, you know, first five or six picks with potential trades and things like that will determine what's going to happen with Atlanta, you know, if they stay there and who's going to be available if they do or they don't.
Yeah, totally agree, Steve. I mean, we've gone around and around on these edge rushers because it's the obvious thing, and I think that's where most fans are living. But I'm with you. There's a lot of unpredictability here with where this could go, and it's not going to surprise me if they go in a different direction. Steve Wyche joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What about those first four picks? Do you think four quarterbacks are going in the first six picks?
I do. Anyone you talk to thinks four quarterbacks are going. Now, will it be the teams that currently hold those positions who are going to be picking them? You know, we do think Washington's going to hold on to the pick at two, but do the Patriots at three? See, they're kind of at the mercy of who Washington picks it to. And if they're not in love, and I spoke with Gerard Mayo, the head coach of the Patriots, if they're not in love with the guy who's available at three, they'll bail because they know there are teams like Denver, like Minnesota, and like the Raiders who want to get up. Right? But again, it depends who's there. That's why they're at the mercy of Washington. And then we'll see what Arizona wants to do at four. Some team feels they've got to get up that far, or if they can trade with the Chargers at five and maybe get their quarterback. So the quarterbacks are going to go. It's just a matter, again, of what Washington does at two. The draft starts at two. You know, everyone thinks Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback, but if they don't take him, there could be a rush to try to pry New England off that third pick. And with all the holes New England has on its roster, they could be tempted. But I do know that they like Jaden Daniels very much. So he seems to be the guy a lot of teams love, but when teams speak publicly about how much they love a guy, that's often, you know, some window dressing to keep them off the guy they really like.
Right. And then conversely, when you hear somebody, a media member, pooping on somebody, sometimes that's getting information from another team, hoping that guy's going to fall to them in the great poker game of the draft. Steve Wyche with us here. Steve, one thing, you've covered the Falcons for so many years, we never trade down. It's always moving up. I mean, but you just laid it out. Is it going to take somebody who maybe if the quarterback is still there or a wide receiver moving up? Or do we maybe still take a wide receiver knowing how our GM takes the best athlete if somebody like Roma Dunze is there at eight?
Oh, that's a tough pass. I'll say this. You know, when I talk to people from around the league, and even though they like they really like the Falcons roster, the one thing that they bang on them for with their draft process is they drafted really good players at non-premium positions. And when you have a high pick, they say, you know, most teams feel you have to go at premium position. And as you know, that's quarterback or people who impact the quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, corner. And they've taken wide receiver, running back, tight end. So if they go with another skill guy, look, they may say Kirk Cousins is the guy. We've got to improve our offense to get there. We'll figure it out on defense because we've got some great defensive coaches. So, again, I just think it's such a wild card because if these quarterbacks start to slip or if some of their – there's going to be a run on these offensive tackles because they're a loaded, top-heavy offensive tackle class. Some team may want to come up to 8 and the Falcons push back to 12. You know, again, it's just going to be so intriguing what happens in front of them, and that's why I think a lot of the trades that are going to happen – won't happen until the draft is actually kicked off.
Steve Weiss, our guest, guys, talking all things NFL. By the way, he will be a part of the live coverage for the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit, April 25th through the 27th. Of course, that's next week. We are counting down to it. And by the way, you know, you like going to these different cities? You like the way the NFL has done this? I mean, it used to be, right? It was in New York every year, and we knew what to expect.
Yeah, Radio City.
Yeah, I love this, Steve. I love the fact that they're taking this around the country the way they are.
Well, that's great. Like, I'll actually be in studio in L.A., but I think it is a great thing that they're giving a lot of cities, especially cities that won't necessarily get Super Bowls, right? Detroit's had Super Bowls, but they're not on the docket anytime soon. So, but look, that fan base is charged, right? Their team is really good now. They're excited. They're going to do a great job. And that's the one thing they found is these cities where they've taken it have been next level. I mean, what Philadelphia's done, what Chicago did, Cleveland, and places like that, the fans really embrace it because, you know, one thing about the draft that the NFL nails is it's the one time of year where you fuse college football fans and NFL fans. And in every one of these cities where they have it, you've got a great dose of both. And so that's why I think it's great that they're moving it around. They're giving everybody opportunities. I think Green Bay is a possibility in the future. Pittsburgh's a possibility in the future. Like, those are cities that aren't getting Super Bowls, but it's something that can really charge the fan base and get people excited again about one of the big moments of the year.
Steve Weiss with us, guys, from NFL Network here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Steve, we talked a lot earlier today about the Belichick article, the Falcons coaching hiring process, and you see Belichick getting hired by anybody next year?
It's a great question. I mean, I was asking that question last year when things started going south. I was like, based on, and it's not so much, I have the ultimate respect for Bill Belichick. People can sit here in the dynasty and everything can paint him poorly and this and that. They won ball games. Now, whether it was him or Tom Brady, you can all debate it. But I've talked to too many people and too many players who play for him who, yeah, he might have been a tough coach, but they respect the hell out of him. But with the way the hiring process has gone, he doesn't fit the mold, right? The mold is Raheem Morris. The mold is, you know, D'Amico Ryans, these younger guys who connect with players who aren't authoritarian. Like, the only real – there's very few authoritarian guys in the league right now. Sean Payton is out there, right? And, you know, he's one of those guys who comes to Bill Parcells' tree. But most of these guys are probably younger than 45. They can connect with the players in a certain way. They can hire a coaching staff in a certain way and be open-minded on how they hire their coaching staff. Belichick was going to bring – and I know this – because I spoke to some people he was going to bring with him if he were to get a job, specifically in Atlanta, who were on his staff before. And that I think, is a turnoff to some of these teams. And it was in the article because some of the people who were going to bring were failed head coaches. You know, the Josh McDaniels of the world, the Joe Judges of the world. Like, why do we want them in our building when they have shown not to be successful either on their own or without Tom Brady? So, you know, I just don't know. I mean, everyone wants to put the Dallas thing out there. That'd be intriguing. But I can't see Belichick necessarily working with Jerry Jones with the way Belichick operated the Patriot way and Jerry Jones not giving a damn about any way but his.
Yeah, that's a great point. Steve, man, always a pleasure to get you on. Love what you're doing. Keep doing your thing, man. And we'll certainly be watching and checking things out as the draft plays out next week and look forward to talking with you once everything is settled down.
Sounds like a plan, guys. You take care.
Appreciate you. Steve
Weiss. Wickety Weiss.
Yeah, man. That last part where he's talking about coaches and coming in and all that stuff,
right.
that's a whole nother element to this story right. that's out there, man.
I mean, as we said earlier, the coaching tree is a stump. I mean, you bring those guys and you're getting all those retreads. Guys, and again, some people felt the hubris of Belichick. It would really put a fine point on Belichick has lost his fastball. That I'm going to take two guys who've never coached offense and put them in charge of a second-year quarterback. And it was, what do you expect you're going to have? A disaster. That's when you're almost like, no, your stuff doesn't stink. Your stuff isn't that perfect. And you saw it.
You're right.
And that's why I got, and then you throw on top of that Matt Patricia. It's been a walking disaster ever since he left Foxborough.
Yeah. I know, Falcon fans, you'll probably debate whether this is the right decision. If we win a Super Bowl, you'll never debate it. But I think for the franchise, Mike, and where we are right now, I think we're in a much better place.
Right.
Than where we would have been. Hey, Lauren Williams is going to join us. She is in Chicago. She covers the Hawks for the AJC and AJC.com. What's going to happen tonight with the play-in? We'll talk about it next. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My kind of Braves fans, Carl.
I know.
At the bar, they're basically saying, we've heard you guys talk about it. Real quick, we got to get to Crisp. And it's just the point of the argument was, why don't we just kick the tires on Trevor Bauer? And I don't give a hoot what the other MLB teams are doing. He's cheap and he's available. And that's generally what the Braves look for in their pitching. Cheap and available.
And available. Yeah. No, listen, I said exhaust all your resources, right? Their excuse, and it may not be, and we're going to talk to Lauren Williams here in just a second. The reason why they won't, Mike, is because you just got a quality start from Darius Rucker or Darius Vines. And Ronaldo Lopez, right? And the Rucker thing, guys, is a running joke. I say that because last year we were talking about Vines getting his first start and all that, and we had some fun with it being Hootie and the Blowfish. Right. But the bottom line is they can say, look what's going on with the pitching, the guys that we're bringing
up. And hopefully, you know, as it come to that, I just thought it shouldn't be such, oh, my God, that's such an impossibility. I don't want to go to another 10 years of one World Series with the best team in baseball like the Bobby Cox years.
All right, we'll get you caught up on the Braves. They are finishing up their series with the Astros. Grant McCall is going to join us later on. Right now, Lauren Williams is on the WadeFord.com hotline. She is in Chicago for tonight's play-in game. And, Lauren, they just went up there. They just showed that they could win on the road in Chicago.
Yeah.
How do you feel about tonight? Because we know the atmosphere, and it's going to be different going into this game because it's going to have a playoff atmosphere.
Honestly, I'm feeling 50-50 just because the Hawks finished the regular season series between them and the Bulls 2-1 with them being on the losing end of that record there. And the Bulls, you know, they're a big team and the Hawks don't have a lot of size, particularly because they opted not to make any roster moves at the end of the season and, you know, maybe waiving someone and then signing Beat Krejci in that open roster spot. So they're missing some size, especially with Jalen Johnson, Onyeka Okongwu, and Sadiq Bey out of the lineup. And we know that Jalen Johnson was, you know, a pretty solid part of that win in Chicago, just because of his ability to guard so many players on the perimeter, in the post. And obviously we're still waiting to see if Andre Drummond plays, and that will also be a tough matchup for whoever it is the Hawks decide to match up against him, just because he historically has absolutely dominated them on the boards, whether it's on the offensive end or on the defensive end. So, yeah, I'm feeling 50-50. I think if also Ayo Desonmo is out, I give the Hawks a little bit of a better shot to win this one tonight.
Lauren Williams from the AJC is with us. Remember, we were joking around earlier this year, Lauren. I said, let's go get some of those Eastern European guys with one eyebrow and no vowels to help, but we don't have that size. So can this be what it has been in the play-in where Trey just takes it over like he did against Charlotte or Cleveland in the past?
Yeah, I very well think it could be. It seems like he's gotten his wind under him in those last three games of the regular season. But my money is also on a guy like DeJounte Murray stepping up. I think this team is going to need, you know, more than just Trey. It's going to need everybody in this scenario. And I actually talked to Darnell Mayberry, who's the athletics reporter covering the Bulls, and he talked about how the Bulls just aren't this team that can – defend the three-point line. And so the Hawks are going to have a really, really good shooting night, much like they did a couple weeks ago, to even give themselves a shot, particularly if they're having trouble on the glass.
Yeah, it's a great point. We're talking with Lauren Williams. She covers the Hawks for the AJC. She's in Chicago tonight. Our coverage, by the way, begins at 9. Tip is at 9:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We know, just laying things out for you guys, if they win tonight, they will play the winner. Or actually the loser, should I say, go on the road and play.
The loser. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I don't want any part of Embiid if he's healthy.
Well, it'll either be the Sixers or the Heat. Right. And so that's the thing that is next up for the Hawks, but they got to get past Chicago tonight. Let me ask you about, specifically the bench guys, Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
Who has to play really well? You mentioned Veet. Gary's been great. I mean, who has to step up tonight, in your opinion, that has to take it to the next level?
I honestly think it's going to have to be a guy like Garrison Matthews. You know, again, I talk about that three-point shooting, and he ended the regular season atop the leaderboard in three-point shooting percentage. So they're going to need all the firepower they can get from him. They won't have Veet Krejci, as you just mentioned. But, you know, if they're going to be, you know, extending the bench a little bit, you'll want to see some of those young guys really have some minutes. But I kind of expect Quinn Snyder will probably be running a short bench, even though they don't have a lot of bodies available. They have 12 available guys, and I could see him, you know, giving some extended minutes to some of those starters and, you know, maybe the first six or seven guys. And Garrison Matthews usually is about the sixth man. He comes in for either Trae Young or DeJounte Murray or Bogdan Bogdanovic, you know, around the halfway mark in that first quarter, and then, you know, plays for a little bit into that second quarter. So I honestly think they're going to really need a big night from everybody. But bench-wise, I think Garrison Matthews is probably one of those guys that they'll want to look to get going as soon as they can. Obviously, they'll want a good night of shooting from Bogdan Bogdanovic, who, you know, toward the end of the regular season, I'm not sure if it was the amount of minutes that he'd been playing was finally catching up to him, or, you know, he was just in a little bit of a shooting slump. So hopefully tonight will be the night that he conveniently breaks out of that.
Yeah, streaky sometimes. Lauren Williams with us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live at Taco Mac in Woodstock. Come on down if you're up here in this neck of the woods. Lauren, we were talking earlier about the NBA players that are making the Olympic team or not making the Olympic team, heading to Paris.
Yeah.
And Carl brought this up yesterday. We talked about it. The fact that, you know, you've got Grant Hill involved in USA men's basketball. And is it about defense? Is it about size? Is it about personality or all of the above that Trey's not on the squad?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of both, quite honestly. When you look at the guys that they ended up selecting, it's a pretty big team. you know, Joel Embiid obviously will tip the scales on that in any situation. But I do think that, you know, a little bit of personality plays into it. And we've talked about this time and time again, that, you know, there is an off-the-court element that has to be played when you're in the NBA and you're looking, you know, to make career moves. And so, you know, LeBron James is kind of a prime example of just a guy that everybody seems to genuinely like, not just because of his skill set, but because he's a charming person. Steph Curry, another charming person, but also you couple that with a skill set. So it has to be a mixture of both. And I think we're seeing this season, Trae Young kind of make that shift, and one, how he's, you know, been able to interact with the media, but also at All-Star, we saw him really trying to interact with his cohorts. So I think that'll be a big thing for him moving forward. And, you know, he's still, I know it's the NBA and 25 is practically, you know, senior citizen at this point, but he still has a lot of, you know, life left in him in NBA years. And I think he still has plenty of time to try and make that Team USA squad, especially now that it seems he's trying to make up some ground on the political aspect that comes with, you know, any job. It's not just the NBA, but it's all about who you know and who you get along with. You know, you look at corporations, they have personality hires, they have people they hire for their skills. and then they have the people that are both. And so I think that's just a big part that we're seeing, you know, Trae Young continue to grow and mature, and I think that should pay off for him in the future.
Very political answer there. Lauren, I love it. I love it. You're right. The politics does play. We don't know exactly how that's playing into this particular situation, but it is fair. Everything you are saying is fair. All right. Are we going to play one of these other teams Friday? Give me your final analysis.
It is the over the play tonight.
Would you stop?
What?
Are we playing on Friday?
What?
I just feel like something in my gut tells me I might be having to change my flight from, you know, a return flight to Atlanta to
it's weird, right?
Either Philadelphia,
they win
or
these games.
Miami.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. It's like anytime I make a prediction about the Hawks, it seems they do the total opposite. So should I say that they lose tonight? I don't know. I don't even want to put that out there. I don't know how to handle this. I'm not great with this stuff.
I'm not good with this. All right, fair enough. We'll let you get a chance to enjoy and watch the game, read her stuff. And I'm with you on this. I agree with Lauren. These are the games where you go, they don't have a shot. And they show up and they shoot well, and all of a sudden they win the game, and we all looking at each other like, okay, what's going on? So
it's basically dead even on the money line.
Yeah, they somehow strike magic at this time of the year. We look at last season when they were going up against Miami, they had that whole thing with ESPN where all of the columnists or the panelists voted for the Heat, and then the Hawks ended up pulling that out, and they're in a similar situation this season where everyone has, you know, kind of put money down for the Bulls. I don't know. So I think they like to thrive as the underdog, and so I think regardless of what happens, they're going to play their behinds off. And so this was a tough season for them. They had a lot of injuries. When you look at the moves or the lack thereof that the front office kind of put them in, it just seemed like they didn't necessarily put them in a position to be, you know, the most competitive, you know, at the time that they could have done so. But they still tried to find ways to show up. Obviously, the record is not what fans would want to see, but this team has been pretty competitive. I think when you look up and down the schedule and you count maybe the number of blowouts that they've had this season, I feel like there have been, what, five or six that we can really, really scoff at and say, oh, that was a terrible game. You know, you think that the opener against Charlotte, obviously the three games they played against, or two of the games they played against Indy in Indianapolis, and maybe there are a couple more sprinkled in there that I might be missing, but they've been pretty competitive, and they've taken a lot of these games down to the wire. I think one of the big things that they kind of cleaned up, that was one of their bugaboos at the beginning of the season, was blowing double-digit leads, and we saw fewer of those, and said they were the ones coming back from those double-digit deficits. So, yeah, I think this is a team that obviously expectations were high publicly, but maybe privately, you know, they just wanted them to go out and compete, and the goal was internal development. I'm still trying to kind of wrap my head around everything I've observed this season.
Well, that's just – and, Lauren, thanks so much for the time. We never got to see the full team for more than four or five games at a time before the injuries popped up.
Yeah, good stuff, Lauren. We appreciate you. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
All right.
By the way, over-under is 22.5, so a 113-110 would put you over.
Yeah.
But that's pretty low scoring based on what the Hawks have done at times this year.
Well, here's the deal.
I think the over is the play.
They're lucky to be here, guys.
Right.
Seriously, they're even lucky to be
here. I'm not telling you how to gamble. I'd bet the over tonight.
Hey, coming up.
I mean, I am betting the over tonight.
We're going to talk about some college football. Also, more on this ESPN article that claims what happened with Bill Belichick. And I have it in for a listener who's coming at us, Mike. This hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. We're live at Taco Mac in Woodstock. It's Dukes and Bell.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.